Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. The information we present is taken from the writings of Benjamin Krem, a disciple of a Master of Wisdom, and also from teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. We include teachings from many schools of thought to demonstrate how they are working out in the world. Our articles are often inspiring. We hope to inform the public of actions taken around the globe to improve conditions for us all and to find means of addressing some of our most pressing problems. Good morning all, and welcome warmly to our program. And we'll start today with a piece from the UN Climate Panel. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, released its highly anticipated report on the 8th of October 2018 on what needs to be done to limit global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. The answer: social and technological change on a scale for which, and this is in quotes, there is no documented historic precedent. That's from the Washington Post. Now, the IPCC, a UN body formed to give policymakers accurate scientific information about climate change, was asked to prepare the report as part of the Paris Agreement. The final draft has included the work of 91 researchers from 40 countries and cited more than 6,000 scientific resources.
The IPCC Special Report on Global Warming of 1.5 degrees Celsius was released following the October summit in Incheon, South Korea, and offers a narrow window for rapid climate change. By 2030, emissions would have to fall to 45% below 2010 levels. By 2050, all or nearly all coal burning must stop. It's like a deafening, piercing smoke alarm going off in the kitchen. We have to put out the fire. United Nations Environmental Executive Director Eric Zollheim told the Washington Post. While the report laid out the difficulties of limiting warming to 1.5 degrees, it also reinforced the importance of doing so, allowing the planet to warm a full 2 degrees, the upper limit set up by the Paris Agreement, could have devastating consequences.
Limiting warming to 1.5 degrees instead of 2 would prevent 10 additional centimetres, which is approximately 4 inches, of sea level rise, lower the chance of ice-free Arctic summers from once per decade to once per century, prevent permafrost thaw in an Alaska-sized chunk of the Arctic, limit the die-off of tropical coral reefs to 70 to 90% instead of 99%, save hundreds of millions of people from climate risk and poverty by 2050. 1.5 degrees is the new 2 degrees, Greenpeace International Executive Director Jennifer Morgan told the Washington Post. Limiting warming to 1.5 degrees would also require technological innovation. The percentage of electricity the world gets from renewable energy would have to increase from the current 24% to 50 to 60% within the next decade. Transportation would have to rapidly increase its transition to electric vehicles, and fossil fuel plants would need to be equipped with carbon capture and storage technology to prevent greenhouse gas emissions from entering the atmosphere and then store them in the ground.
The report also calls for converting land from agriculture to forest for carbon storage, and an untested technology called bioenergy with carbon capture and storage, or BECCS, which works by growing crops for energy, then capturing the carbon and storing it underground. Experts agree that ambitious negative emissions strategies require international cooperation on a massive scale. Even if it is technically possible without aligning the technical, political, and social aspect of feasibility, it is not going to happen. Glenn Peters, research director of the Center for International Climate Research in Oslo, told the Washington Post, to limit warming below 1.5 degrees or 2 degrees for that matter requires all countries and all sectors to act. But that kind of cooperation has been made more difficult by the decision of U.S. President Donald Trump to withdraw the high-emitting country from the Paris Agreement.
Today, the world's leading scientific experts collectively reinforced what Mother Nature has made clear, that we need to undergo an urgent and rapid transformation to a global clean energy economy. And these are the words of former US Vice President and climate action advocate Al Gore. Unfortunately, the Trump administration has become a rogue outlier in its short-sighted attempt to prop up the dirty fossil fuel industries of the past. The administration is in direct conflict with American business, states, cities and citizens leading the transformation. And just to say, there are heaps of American states and mayors, cities who are doing this alone without government help.
That's right. They're broken away from Donald Trump ideology and whatever.
Hope for the world.
Yeah. Anyway, our next article is from a group of politicians, business people and statesmen who call themselves the elders. This group was started by Nelson Mandela. Alarmed by the IPCC special report on 1.5 degrees, the elders are calling on world leaders to take radical action to curb global emissions and end all reliance on fossil fuel. Further failure would be an unconscionable betrayal of the planet and future generations, said Gro Harlem Brundtland, acting chair of the elders and former prime minister of Norway. The elders urged world leaders to meet and increase their political ambition and financial commitments so that radical action is taken to keep global temperature rises to 1.5 degrees Celsius, in line with the Paris Agreement on climate change. They voiced alarm that the new report from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change indicates that this target will be missed unless immediate action is taken to curb global emissions and end all reliance on fossil fuels. Gro Harlem Brundtland said, "This report is not a wake-up call. It is a ticking time bomb." Climate activists have been calling for decades for leaders to show responsibility and take urgent action, but we have barely scratched the surface of what needs to be done.
The elders have stressed that fossil fuel subsidies for both production and consumption must be eliminated and a price set on carbon. Resources should be channeled so vulnerable communities can invest in green technologies and adapt to the impacts of climate change. Recalling the words of the late chair Kofi Annan that climate change is the great existential threat of our time, the elders have said all sectors of society must take action and responsibility and adopt policies, behaviour and public discourse to emphasise the urgency of radical change. Mary Robinson, the former UN Special Envoy on Climate Change and the former President of Ireland, said the IPCC report starkly sets out the challenges of securing a just transition to a 1.5 degree world and the urgency with which this needs to be accomplished. This can only be done by a people-centred, rights-based approach with justice and solidarity at its heart. The time for talking is long past. Leaders need to step up and serve their people and act immediately.
Meeting the 1.5 degree target is critical not only for environmental sustainability, but also for to safeguard peace, prosperity and human rights worldwide, especially for poor and vulnerable communities already bearing the brunt of climate change's impacts. Lector Brahimi, former foreign minister of Algeria and UN diplomat, said, "This report makes clear that the ecological catastrophe threatened by unmitigated climate change also spells disaster for global peace and security. Scarce resources and huge numbers of people displaced by rising sea waters, drought or desertification will exacerbate existing conflicts and produce new fault lines. For all our sakes, leaders must respond with urgency, unity and clarity of vision to preserve a peaceful planet." And that was from theelders.org. This knowledge and concern must inspire us all to act. And in the words of a master of the wisdom, "Apart from war, nothing so profoundly affects the future of all men as much as pollution. Some countries have recognized this fact and have taken some steps to limit pollution and global warming. Others, sometimes the chief polluters, deny the reality of global warming despite the overwhelming evidence to the contrary. Daily now, the climate changes prove beyond doubt that the planet is sick and needs immediate and skillful care to reestablish equilibrium. Time is running out for men to halt the transformation which is being daily wrought on planet Earth. Every man, woman, and child must play their part in the task. Time is verily running out. SOP, save our planet." That was sourced from Benjamin Krim's master's article in 2012. The scientists have done their work. It is up to the politicians to act and for the people to demand that they act. In December, the UN COP24 held a meeting in Poland to follow up the Paris Agreement with a set of rules on reducing emissions. The issue will be whether there is political will to adhere to these rules.
Now, as a counter to pessimism, China has made great progress on renewable energy and emission reduction, and India is tackling its damaging air pollution. The cost of renewables worldwide has actually fallen dramatically, and for developing countries, sustainable energy is the key to their future prosperity. Achim Steiner, the administrator to the UN Development Programme, says that the last few years have seen extraordinary progress in low-carbon energy, and global investors in developing countries are seeing low-carbon as the future. Christiana Figueres, who was head of the UN climate body at the time of the Paris talks, points out that the technical resources for averting catastrophe do currently exist. The issue, she says, is the political will. In her words, "I encourage all policymakers to undertake a thorough review of how much has been achieved and to garner the courage to provide much bolder signals now. I encourage corporations and financial institutions to assess the risks they precipitate by not decarbonising their products, their services and investment portfolios. And I encourage all of those individuals who have the privilege and democratic right to vote to understand the evidence presented by the IPCC today, to act in their personal lives and to vote responsibly. We have a saner, more prosperous future to win." And that was from The Guardian UK.
A major cause of global warming is deforestation. And a group of 40 scientists headed by Deborah Lawrence of the University of Virginia, U.S., have issued a statement that points to the lack of coverage of this telling fact in the recent IPCC's report on global warming. Trees and other vegetation currently absorb around a quarter of the CO2 humans are adding to the atmosphere, softening the potential impact of climate change. International agreement is therefore desperately needed to stop the current level of deforestation. By protecting and restoring forests, the world would achieve 18% of the emission mitigation needed by 2030 to avoid runaway climate change. And the source of that was theguardian.com. Another article here, Dutch court upholds climate ruling over emission cuts. Climate change is a grave danger. Any postponement of emission reductions exacerbate the risk of climate change. The Dutch government cannot hide behind other countries' emissions. It has an independent duty to reduce emissions from its own territory. Judge Tan de Zonneville, in a landmark ruling, a court in The Hague, has upheld a legal order from the June 2015 to cut carbon emissions by 25% within 5 years. The case was brought by Urgenda, a climate action group whose argument is built largely on the European Convention of Human Rights, which prohibits actions that carry unknown but potentially severe risks. Other references were made to a United Nations Climate Secretariat article that obliges states to do whatever is necessary to prevent dangerous climate change, and the 2007 assessment of the United Nations Climate Science Panel to reduce carbon dioxide in order to contain global warming to 2 degrees.
In May 2018, the Dutch government launched an appeal to overturn this ruling, which had already inspired a wave of similar lawsuits in Belgium, Colombia, India, Ireland, New Zealand, Norway, Portugal, Switzerland, Uganda, the UK and the US. Now, the appeal court in Holland has ruled that the severity and scope of the climate crisis demands greenhouse gas reductions of at least 25% by 2020, measured against 1990 levels. This reduction is significantly higher than the current government's plans that would have led to a 17% drop. After the court ruling, Marjan Minnesma, Urgenda's campaign director, said, "The recent special report of the IPCC emphasises that we need to reduce emissions with much greater urgency. The Dutch government knows that as a low-lying country, we are on the front line of climate change. Our own government agencies recently concluded that in the worst-case scenario, sea levels might rise by 2.5 to 3 metres by the end of this century. The Court of Appeal's decision puts all governments worldwide on notice. They must act now or they will be held to account." Good news.
I think so. Since its launch by students in 2011 as a moral call to climate action, the fossil fuel divestment campaign has become a mainstream financial movement, mobilizing trillions of dollars in support of the transition to clean energy. Published in September 2018, the Global Fossil Fuel Divestment and Clean Energy Investment Movement report states that nearly 1,000 institutional investors with $6.24 trillion in assets have committed to divest from fossil fuel, up from $52 billion just 4 years ago, an increase of 11,900%. May Boevi, Executive Director for campaigning organization 350.org, said, "Fossil fuel divestment has become a global phenomenon. 2018 was a breakthrough year for the movement. As we see the devastation from climate impacts unfold worldwide, the public is turning rapidly away from fossil fuels, and it is time for politicians to follow."
And I think we'll wrap it up there. That's about all the time we've got. The message is pretty clear in this show, this program today. If you'd like any more information, this has all come from Share International magazine, or you can email us on sharenz@yahoo.com. Thanks, folks. Love and blessings.